Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So let's get one thing straight right away. If you're not already a gamer, this world is not for you.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always,
for the first time this year, Ben Vanel. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, Adam.
Thank you.
This is the first time I've seen you this year.
Absolutely. Welcome. The first time you're Ben Vanel for this year is how you said that. People don't know this, but Ben assumes a new identity for the first three or four days of every new year.
That's correct.
Dr. Ben.
It's his resolution, but he never sticks to it.
Always fall back into the old patterns of being me.
Yeah.
The 3rd or 4th of January comes around, you have that muffin you told yourself you wouldn't, and you stop pretending to be an internationally renowned doctor.
I did do a big, like, write down my, like, goals and wants and needs, and was doing journaling at the start of the year with the idea of keeping myself accountable and how it would be good to do that.
Yep.
And now that the day of reckoning is here, I'm terrified to look back over it and realize how little of it. Although maybe I'll be pleasant. You know, often you're scared about looking back at that stuff and you're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I did a lot of it.
Well, so if you wrote down, like, go on an overseas holiday, record a comedy special.
Yep.
Do a podcast. Do two podcasts.
Yep.
Show feed on camera.
Show feed on camera.
Show Bob's and Virgin.
Yeah, you probably nailed it.
I probably did nail it.
I have I've been reflecting on my year, and it's inspired me to do some bullet journaling.
Hell yeah,
that's
brother.
Okay.
4 days after New Year's Eve, probably still a lot of people feeling that way.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big year of video games.
That's right.
I think it's going to be an interesting year of video games.
In my head, I was like, 2023, good year.
Yeah, very good year. Yeah,
I thought we'll have the little pause for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
People have been talking about that maybe happening for
some
reason or another.
Little pause?
Maybe.
That could be something.
Anything could happen. It's a new year, new me. New me is just that I have a cat.
Yeah.
Just accessorize. I see animals as accessories.
Yeah, okay.
But writing down a lot of the games that I thought looked interesting from this year, there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff on the horizon. This feels like the first year in a little while where they're coming into the year, there isn't the big, like, oh, this big game that's being talked about forever will finally come out.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, other than, we'll talk about it in a bit, but Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Right, but that's like a sequel to one that was.
Yeah, you know, in the last few years we've had, like, oh, Elden Ring's finally going to come out, and Starfield, and Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I feel like there's been a really, really, really big one at the outset that it's been like, oh, finally we'll see that. And there's some great stuff that we're all looking forward to, but there's not that, like,
I mean,
massive one that's been on the horizon for half a decade or whatever.
The Switch 2 is that.
Let's get that out of the way, right?
Switch 2, which will probably come alongside a game that we didn't know about.
Exactly.
Or a game like a Metroid Prime 4 that has been one of those that has been sort of on the slate for 10 years plus.
Yeah.
That's kind of the weird thing about doing this episode now is that we know that over the course of this year, at some stage, that will get announced and come out, but we know there's nothing about it
at this stage. The big thing that, I don't know where this came from, but it was like that they're aiming for September with a November backup if it's not quite working out.
Right, okay. Right.
So second half of the year, almost certainly, we'll get a big direct probably in March through to June-ish sort of thing. E3's officially dead. That happened while we were.
Oh, yes.
Today, in real time, we're pre-recording this for 2024 so Ben can go buy his stethoscope
That's
over
right.
the break.
Yeah, yeah.
Got 50 stethoscopes all
in the Boxing Day sales.
Yeah.
But so we that won't be shown at E3, and it'll be interesting to see if that sort of June, July period. I mean, things get announced all the time, but sure. if that still remains
and Jeff
three
has,
big conferences.
Jeff has his other
Summer Games Fest.
Summer Games Fest, yeah. Yep.
I think it'll be, I don't even think it'll be like a in a direct. I think it'll be like how they tend to do these kinds of things is just its own announcement where they'll drop a tweet and be like, tune in tomorrow for the first look at our new console.
Right, send out the media release, March. Get a bunch of preview things going.
The 3rd of March will be the 7th
anniversary
of the Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Doing the maths of 2017 to 24, not how my brain is built.
Yeah, harder
wow.
than it should be.
I'll be in Japan at the time.
Yeah, right. Well,
so,
don't
yeah.
knock on their
yeah,
door.
I might
give me the scoop.
Yeah.
And you'll be
it's not called the scoop. It's called the Switch 2.
I think I'm
going to
be there too. You and I can
yes,
go
yeah.
camp out the front of Nintendo in Kyoto like we're a bunch of kids lining the block for a new Supreme drop.
And I can do the podcast.
No, boys, it's not out today.
I can do the podcast alone from here reporting on two idiots delay launch of Switch by
security
invading.
Threat.
Yeah. yeah. But that would I could see it being a March announcement, like with the way the financial year over there is kind of timed. I think it's April, right?
That's true.
And so, I guess, yeah, if it's meant to be potentially on shelves in September, that would make sense.
It's a long enough gap to not piss off the people who just got a Switch at Christmas time.
Right.
Too much, that sort
right.
of stuff.
Yeah, and they are going to have to start, like, yeah, covering. I mean, they do have some stuff on the horizon for the Switch, but, yeah, that would be... That would kind of be the time to do it, and that gives you a few months. And yeah, the big leak or rumor or whatever is that it's launching with a 3D open world Mario that
right.
looks fantastic
right.
by what this leak has said.
Metroid Prime 4 will be not at launch is my guess, but it will be within the first year.
Right.
I reckon it's been shuffled up to a yeah.
You reckon a launch?
No, not the launch, but I don't think we're seeing it on the Switch.
Oh, it's
I
not
think
a Switch
we're
game.
Seeing
at all.
It on, yeah.
1,000% not coming out on the Switch.
Yep.
Yep.
But that's exciting. It's I always get pumped up to when the wheels start turning, like, yeah, what the hook of it is gonna be, if there is anything fundamentally different about it. Yeah, what their software plan is, and like just the hardware specs of it too. There were those rumors going around about how it was capable of doing 4K and it was as powerful as a PlayStation 5, which then there were reports a little while after that seemed to like walk a fair bit back from that.
Yeah.
And even just in the Game Awards the other week, we saw like a lot of trailers coming out that were saying that these games are coming out on the Xbox Series and the PlayStation 5 and saying nothing about Switch, obviously, but you do wonder if they're, you know, at the same time they are working on a version for this next thing that hasn't been announced yet.
Because it's interesting with Nintendo as well that, like, it's never a given that their next thing's going to do well.
Yeah,
right.
You know? Yeah, yeah,
like,
totally.
Super Nintendo to 64, not so much, and then GameCube, but then the Wii, and then the Wii U, and then, you know, like... It could go either way.
And generally, when they've just been doing really well, is when it goes really bad.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess like that we're pretty certain that dev kits have gone out.
Yep.
And I feel
they
like
100% have.
Yeah. That we would know there would be some kind of something of like it's a different kind of, you know, it's not a hybrid. It's something else. It's just a console. It's just a blah blah blah. It's just a virtual reality. You know, like I'm sure that we would have got some kind of whisper. Obviously it's all under NDAs and stuff, but like, I don't know. It makes me think like, yeah, it's probably going to be. And like, if it is coming out later this year, it's not quite enough time to like do the whole mental shift of like, hey everyone, it's a scooter that you play, get, you know, just right. like.
Yeah, I could see that there's those reports of like apparently it's got like a camera in it. I could see that being the extent of it. I don't think they're going to move away from the hybrid.
Yeah.
Because they've talked about like really wanting to keep the people who had a Switch 1, like get them transferred over and keep them in the ecosystem. So they're not all of a sudden going to go, yeah, oh, it's a Tamagotchi now.
Like, right. The only like sort of larger shift from what the Switch is I could see is there being more power in the dock box.
Oh, yeah.
And potentially lifting it out makes it limits you to what games you can play or what resolutions or something. Mm. Similar to the X and S, where it maybe is even the same library, but it's just on this, there'll be 720p or whatever because the screen is smaller anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I could see that being a shift, but that's
I would love that. And I feel like that was a big thing early on with the Switch, that maybe now the tech is up to scratch where they could sort of do something like that at a decent price point. I'd love them to fuck off the Joy-Con and just make the actual form factor of the unit in handheld mode a little more, like better joysticks.
Right.
Like even just the Switch Lite has such better like buttons and joysticks in it than the regular Switch because they're not made to be detachable. So I feel like people don't really use the detachable Joy-Cons all that much. I'd love to see a pivot into just like, it's a handheld that you chuck on a thing to plug into the TV.
Literally the only time I've seen that aspect of them, of take the Joy-Cons off, play it in, what do you call it, like tabletop mode, was the Louis Theroux interview with Chelsea Manning.
Right.
And she's playing it on a hotel bed and he's like, I feel like I'm seeing Chelsea in her natural element.
Here, right.
Trying to solve the logic deduction problem that is The Legend of Zelda.
That's sick. Yep. I mean, look, I do think that for them it makes it you know, easier to keep the price down, where it was cool with the Switch where out of the box by default you have two controllers in it, technically. Like you can slide both of them off. And
but they're both shit.
But they're but I know as a selling point for them, for families, it's like, hey, you get snipper clips and you get the Switch and you don't need to go out and get an extra controller or get anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. It may be like, hey, your old controllers work or something. Who knows?
You can pair the Joy-Con with this one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I agree. I don't care about that aspect of it. And they
I would rather just the form factor of it feel than not have to make those concessions to have to make the controllers detachable.
Yeah, and the Pro Controller is one of the best controllers that's ever been made. So, like, just a nicer version of that for
Chuck some
Switch
analog
2.
Triggers on there, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's already got the gyro in it, right?
Yeah.
So,
Here are the three other Nintendo games we know about for 2024. That not all of them, but the only ones that I think we'll probably be likely to give a shit about. Two of them are remakes, Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Right.
The Game Boy Advance Donkey Kong sequel, which I never played that GBA one, but the Game Boy one is fantastic.
What kind of game is this? Remind me.
Little puzzle sort of thing. It's like a 2D little screen, and you're not so much platforming as there is a sequence that you need to figure out to activate things and traverse things in the level.
You'll be on the bottom left. On the bottom right, there's a door, and in the top right, there's a key. So, and like little guys crawling around, little switches that you've got to flick. So you're trying to like sort of make your way around, get your key, and get back down to the
door.
You could
go listen to the episode where they showed it, and we had this exact same explanation for you,
like a Captain Toad treasure tracker,
That's sort of it. And,
I'm playing that original Game Boy one at the moment on my analog, and it's sick. It's so good.
They're cool little puzzle things. You may well like that. You know, it's got some slightly jazzed up graphics, similar to Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door.
Right.
GameCube, Paper Mario game. Probably the best of the Paper Mario games.
Maybe the best of the Mario RPGs. It's an all-timer.
Widescreen in it, doing up the visuals a bit.
Yeah.
It's gone to cardboard now, apparently.
It always was. That's the secret.
HD paper, cardboard.
I know it looks better, but to me it does look the fucking same. And I feel like I'm getting into the era where like I'm the parent who can't tell that motion smoothing is on the TV or whatever.
Right.
But this looks like the GameCube.
All the music sounds the same today.
Yeah. If your rock crap. I love hip hop though, personally.
If you compare them side by side, you can see the difference. But the GameCube is sort of the start of the era where once they're gussying those graphics up now, it just looks like how you felt it looked when you were
and it's
first
the same as
it.
The Metroid Prime remaster and all of that. Where it's like it is just objectively better, but
and it's already a very downscaled sort of visual style anyway. So it's not like it's was pretty blocky and they're really redoing it as them all as polygons or anything like that.
Right.
It is little drawings on bits of paper, which
for sure
there's only so much you can do with. But that's a great game, and I'm looking forward to playing it again. I haven't played it since back in the day, and more people having access to this game is great because
it's good.
It's such a good RPG.
And the reception to Super Mario RPG suggests that the reception to this will also be broadly positive. Speaking of a positive broad, Princess Peach Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they introduced it in the theme.
Yep.
That looks great to me. It looks like a bit of fun.
Yeah,
game aimed towards kids for sure,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like a cool Kirby-esque sort of take on these different roles and do slightly different sort of action platformer type things.
Yeah.
Looked cool to me.
I'm interested
to see more.
Looking forward to seeing a bit more of what this actually is. Mm. And yeah, it is kind of the, yeah, weirdly, the only original thing that they've got for this year that we know of.
On the slate, right?
On the slate, yeah.
Everything else is Switched too.
Yeah, surely. There's also a Luigi's Mansion 2 is being ported over.
I did read that, and that was the breaking point for me where I'm like, I'm not going to write you
too
down.
Many ports.
yeah. That really... but I mean, in this
an island,
Hong Kong,
yeah.
In this year, where you know they'll be bringing out a new console, it's just that last gasp of like, hey, it's not worth putting the development time into this for the for the thing that we're about to make obsolete.
Yeah,
what can we put out to just have something on the shelves for the last couple of months?
Do you remember off the top of your head when this is coming out?
They've not said with any of them, but they're all sort of first year. Not said anything definitive, but they're all first half of the year, I believe. I think they said like spring or fall or whichever one it is in the Northern Hemisphere up there. Spring,
yeah. Cool, okay. That does definitely indicate we got a new console coming.
It all speaks to, I think, the high likelihood that the Switch 2 will be backward compatible too.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's something about like these games that people have been clamoring for easier access to, and then finally putting them out on this does speak to, they exist on that library. They're there for good.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to play them on the new thing. So for another 7 years or whatever, and then we'll change formats once again and they'll be all gated behind another.
Yeah. Now that we've given special treatment to Nintendo, as is customary for us, let's go through the rest of the games. More slight, like a lot of these don't have release dates attached.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones that do, mostly the first sort of quarter of the year, we'll go through some things that we're looking forward to roughly chronologically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then roughly alphabetically.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree?
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Then may I present to the court Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown on the 18th of January.
Mm, okay.
No.
That's fair.
Not to be dismissive, but I'm not really that interested in this.
I'm 0% interested as well.
Yeah.
This is the new 2D one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it looks good as in the visuals, and I don't think it seems good as in the gameplay from what I've seen of it.
There's been too many that have, and like I never played the 3D ones actually, but that original was such an inspirational game. It had such a big influence, and then I don't know, everyone else kind of took the reins and developed more interesting versions of it. I don't know, I'm just not interested in this one.
And Ubisoft hasn't done something interesting, honestly, for quite some time.
It's one of those weird franchises that it feels like they're kind of always trying to sort of reignite.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like...
Are they still doing that remaster?
Yes, that completely got deleted and then restarted. What's it called? Not the Two Thrones, the one before
Sands of Time. Yeah,
because they did Sands of Time, which was great, and then that trilogy sort of dropped off as it went. They did that 2008 one, which looked awesome, but I never played. But by all accounts, was all right.
Right.
And they did some other one. Like they've done a lot of.
They made that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
And
famous Persian Jake Gyllenhaal.
Prince of Persia just doesn't. I don't think have actually the name that they seem to think it does.
Agreed. Aside from pure nostalgia, it just doesn't translate to it being a really exciting franchise.
Well, and even the original with how it plays is very hard to go back to. Like the kind of controls of it, I always find a little, because it's going for that. It's got that very like fluid, realistic human movement that you have to give so many concessions to when you're playing on the control. You know, you have to like accommodate for so much of like where you're going to land in your jumps. That even the OG isn't like that fun to go back to just as a pure experience where there are so many other, like you can play Frogger and it's, it holds it. You don't have to grant it too many concessions. Like it's a fun game in how it plays and how it feels.
Sands of Time was really cool.
Right.
But this isn't that.
No.
But I'm happy to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, totally.
And that goes for every single thing we'll talk about. The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is the next day. I'm looking forward to giving that little horde mode thing a go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That sounds cool.
Yep. And those just the other little fun things they've chucked into the package as well.
Playing it again with the commentary or whatever could be cool.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of stuff and they've done the right thing by making it sort of cheap DLC price type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been on one hell of a soapbox.
Yeah.
I hope you need bulk soap for a restaurant because that's the size of soap. Do restaurants use the most soap? Probably.
Oh, well, I mean hand soap.
Laundry.
Would hand soap would be, I guess it would be shipped in crates.
Hotel.
Quite small. Hotel.
Hotel would be going through them in the rooms, those little packaged ones.
Hotel soapbox.
Hotel soapbox.
That's where I'm, anyway, I've climbed off of it and broken my neck and I don't need to be up there anymore.
And this is also coming out physically as like a new version for PlayStation 5. Yeah. If you don't already own it, you can buy a boxed version of it.
I think that is cheaper than a full price game, or maybe I'm just thinking of everyone being like, buy the PS4 one and do the upgrade and it'll be cheap,
right?
Like get the PS4 one secondhand. And
I would assume it's like the 120.
I don't think
RRP
it's the same as one
it
where it's like the full price. The 26th of January, we got a big double hitter with Tekken 8.
Oh yes,
the fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of it?
Great subtitle. Tekken 8, the fighting game.
They should have.
They should have. One of those franchises should do it. Then they're the only one.
The definitive article, yeah.
They should Street Fighter, Capcom should trademark the fighting game. And then every Street Fighter from here on out is just called, Street Fighter 7, the fighting game one.
All right. Well, I mean, this is coming the day after I traditionally have a lot of fights. January 25th. So I'm going to be having some virtual fights. What else am I going to be doing?
Well, I'll just say about Tekken 8, I played some of that beta that they did earlier in last year, and it played really well and looked really great. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
But you little fucks will be busy fighting in Hawaii with Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Yes.
I was thinking about this morning. I'm already stressed about this year. After we're talking on our Game of the Year episodes about, felt like 2023 was the year of the big AAA games, feeling okay with the main story just being a lean 10 hours.
Oh, sure.
And then the number of JRPGs coming into this year that I know I'm going to consume the absolute fuck out of and are going to demand a minimum of 100 hours out of me is very overwhelming. And a lot of them being out within the first month of the year.
It'll seem like moments between it. But I want to, over the little break we're about to have in real life, I'd love to get around to Yakuza 7.
Right.
I never really went into it, and it's time.
You'll fucking love it. And then, I think the real time for us a few days ago released way more information about all these mini games, which, I like going to pad out the runtime to over 100 hours.
I kind of want to finish. I kind of respect this, and it's also sort of annoying that in the Like a Dragon, Gaiden, the man who erased his name, it's got a demo of...
Sorry, the episode's over because the time it took for you to say that title. We don't have time.
It's got a demo of Infinite Wealth in it, but you have to have finished the actual game to open it.
Right.
Because
the story is like leading up into that.
I kind of want to do it in the break to sort of see all of his story and to get that little taste because the one before this is an all-timer for me, and this sounds just great.
Yeah.
All the different stuff you can do in it. I love the setting of Hawaii. I love those characters. This is a huge chance of taking over my life.
You've only got a week to get through it, because that week after, on the same day again, Persona 3 Reload comes out, the remake of Persona 3. I'm looking forward to that a lot as well. Never played 3.
Mm-hmm.
Love 5. I think a lot of people are probably in that boat these days.
Yeah.
5 did seem like a breakthrough one. 4 was too.
Mm-hmm. And that also, them remastering 3 more in the style of 5 does speak to hey, this is 4 you can kind of give a pass to, but 3 is getting a bit far back. So, that's how we'll get people back in, is to just make it look like 5.
It looks like they've done a great job of it in to the scale of what it is.
Mm.
Don't know if the same thing will be sayable about Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which is out the same day.
Yeah.
That's probably the big game that has been on the horizon for for the longest time.
I guess so.
Year,
the
guess.
Next Rocksteady game.
It was meant to be out April or something of last year. They delayed it towards the end of the year. Then they delayed it again to this year. You'd assume it will come out for real this time.
They've been trying their hardest with their little little versions of directs, little run throughs, little gameplay spotlights and stuff.
Well, so as I was going trying to show off more of the things that people misunderstood, or well, not that they didn't show off well enough of, like, no, it has a story and characters, yeah. And like, it's not all just fucking knock off Destiny bullshit. It's, yeah. But I don't know.
When I was scrolling through the trailers from the Game Awards for our episode about that 3 weeks ago, I saw this was in there and just went, I'm skipping it. Like,
yeah.
I've seen, I know
I'm
what
off
this
it.
Is going to be.
I'm completely
seen,
off it. Yeah.
I've seen plenty of this and I'm not interested unless it drops and it's everyone's loving it. But yeah, I find it hard to get excited about this at this point.
Well,
yeah.
I've really liked the Arkham games, so I'm still hopeful that like they can do that or something approximating how much I enjoyed those. I guess, like, it doesn't have to be the same.
They're capable of it,
yeah.
But they appear to have chosen to go in a different direction. So yeah, we'll have to see what it is.
They've given themselves a lot of time. Not yes. in necessarily game development terms, but still a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah.
To try and smooth it out. So we'll see if they do. And then in the same month, which is February now, Banishers Ghosts of New Eden comes out on the 13th, which is that Don't Nod game that has the person interviewing the ghosts in the trailers that we've seen of it so far. Do you remember this one? Your face is telling me yes.
Yeah, so this is the Life is Strange people.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The only trailer I remember seeing is that sort of cinematic trailer, and I think they showed a little bit more of it in the Game Awards, but right. not like too much. But it sounded like a cool thing of your, like a medium, I guess,
right.
going around talking to ghosts in this place, trying to solve their issues or something. And
okay.
It had a really nice look and a cool seeming tone to it. So.
I enjoyed Life is Strange. Like, they're good storytellers.
Right, and this is...
Yeah.
Did they do something this year or last year?
They've got another thing coming out soonish, which I forget.
I feel like we were talking about them recently.
You know what? They
else.
Fucking did. Yeah. And I don't remember what that was. But
I feel like we talked about them really recently.
Yeah.
In some context.
We did. Ben's on the phone Googling away. Pornography? Who Googles the word pornography?
We should get an Alexa in here that we just run in through the mixing desk.
Lost Records, Bloom and Rage.
No.
That's the other thing that's coming out in the future.
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to see what they've done recently?
Did they put something out this year?
Yeah.
Jusant.
That's the one.
That fucking game I didn't play.
Great game that I very much recommend.
What a relief.
They've got a bunch of stuff here that I'm not familiar with. Maybe it's all upcoming stuff.
I think they must be one of those ones that has a few different Splinter Cells within them as well.
A new Splinter Cell?
Unfortunately, no. What Ubisoft's been doing instead is continuing to work as forced to by, I believe, Canada on Skull and Bones, which is out on the 16th, they reckon.
Yep. Honestly, with as many good games coming out early, we've been blessed with some ones I am not at all interested in.
Yeah.
We talked about this recently. Yeah.
It might be a bit of fun. I don't know. And it's one of those ones like Duke Nukem Forever or something, I guess, almost, where it's been such an odyssey for them. That I'm fascinated by it in one way, but also kind of not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the boring Duke Nukem Forevers that, like...
It's like, oh, maybe they should have just cancelled it.
There's a huge reason why this was so hard to make. It's because it seemed like it sucked the whole time.
And they're constantly, navigating, like, how many microtransactions can we put in there? And are we should we be shifting to, less of that or more like there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've got... I mean, that and Suicide Squad coming out pretty close together. It feels like that month is a bit of a... but
to be seen though, because both of those are ones where people's reaction to I don't like the sound of this or whatever, less so with Skull and Bones, I think they just had a hard time making that.
Yeah,
but certainly with Suicide Squad, they have had ample feedback, more than a lot of people get during a development.
Yep.
So hopefully they can do something.
Yeah, feedback that's negative and but also fair. You know, a lot of things get piled on when they show off a trailer.
It's as close as Twitter gamers can be to constructive.
Yes. But hey, look, that month being a bit weak, that's fine by me personally. I'll be making my way through Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. I'll be picking up Mario versus Donkey Kong on the 16th, hoping to get through both of them and have the slate cleared for the 29th when we finally get our grubby, greasy, sloppy little mitts.
Disgusting leap day hands on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
Part two of the remake trilogy.
Thank God it is a leap year. Otherwise, this game wouldn't be coming out.
Yeah.
I'll need that extra day to play it.
If they were like, it has to be coming out on February the 29th. And we missed that window last year, so it's not coming out until, I don't know, 2029.
Final Fantasy VII being like, I'm only 10. You're 40, Final Fantasy VII.
This looks sick.
Everything they've shown of it looks up to par and beyond from the first one, which was great. Pretty known quantity type of thing in a lot of ways where you know, I expect the gameplay to be quite similar, but with improvements. I expect it to look quite similar with improvements. I love that first one. So no notes on that stuff.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Do that.
Great music in that, again, in the remake, the reorchestration and the new music that they made for it as well was fucking awesome.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
And it felt like the first one was really pushing the PlayStation 4 as far as it could. So this being on the 5 is, pretty exciting to see what they can get out of it.
Absolutely. And then the story changing stuff that they do, I found really cool and fascinating with that first one. Keen to see how much more of that.
Totally. As someone familiar with the original, the fucking Zack stuff and it looks great.
And
liked the intermission, whatever it was as well.
Integrate?
Yes, thank you.
You know, that word that I'm pretty sure doesn't exist.
Yeah, the Yuffie stuff was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. And the retreading and the sort of parallel storyline stuff.
I've got to go back and play that.
It's great.
Plug in my old PlayStation 4 so that I can send my save data
That's
over.
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
It's very annoying.
They really hadn't figured it out by that point.
No.
Did you see as well in one of the recent trailers, as Hot Sid.
Yeah.
Sid's fucking hot as shit now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
This will be cool to be the second game of the year that we know of at this stage where you're riding a Segway around on the beach.
Yeah.
It's the year of the beach Segway.
You sometimes get those things. I remember 2013 or whatever it was when the Tomb Raider reboot came out and Crysis 3, and there were a bunch of games that have real heavy bow focuses.
You get
those trend years, and I guess this is the year of the Segway.
But the Segway
speaking
itself
of which,
is so out of trend.
There's a couple other things still in Feb that I think look great. Pacific Drive is an indie that's coming out that we've seen.
Look at her right there.
It's
on
down the
board.
The bottom of the okay, yes. So Pacific Drive.
Drive is kind of survival exploration game thing.
Yeah.
But focused on you have a car you have to maintain.
Yes.
To drive. Like a sort of Spooky Woods Mad Max.
Oh, right. I remember this.
It looks really cool.
I remember seeing this a while ago.
Visual design looks fantastic.
I didn't realize that was as soon as February. That's very cool.
Yeah. And then
it's right down the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
The February section.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons remake is late Feb.
That one, we didn't talk about it on the Game of the Year, Game Awards stuff episode a few weeks ago. But that was one where it was like, that's crazy that they're remaking that one to me, where I don't know why. It's just that one jumped out as that game came out 19 months ago.
Right. I've never played it. It's from the PS3 era or something? Yeah.
It's a fair while ago now, but
I just wanted to note that I'm going to play it probably.
Yeah.
It was
a cool game as well. Yeah. It's just one of those ones where Star Wars is back in cinemas. What do you mean back? It was here last summer.
Yeah.
To me, a 5-million-year-old, which I'll feel stupid about saying when I look back at this in 10 more years.
Well, that'll be us.
Realize I wasted my youth.
When people hear our episode of the show next week where we're like, boys, good to see you. Good to be back in the same room.
Yeah.
And the listener will be like, what the hell are you talking
what
about?
Are you?
Yeah.
You were in my ears 1 week ago.
That Brothers Tale of Two Sons game was cool.
Hmm.
You control two sons.
Oh, yeah.
One stick per
Tatooine style.
Yeah.
Speaking
of sons, Homeworld 3 is a strategy game that is being made by the people who did those other more recent Homeworld games that were never a sequel to Homeworld. Like one of them was that Deserts of Karak.
Right.
You want to crack for dessert.
Talk about a dry ass.
But what?
Deserts of Karak.
I don't understand it.
Well, that's all right. It's for the people at home.
Homeworld 3 is those Homeworld games in the late 90s were really cool, fully 3D space strategy games.
Yeah, pretty innovative at the time.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
And they're doing a proper 3. That's out in March. Don't know if it'll be good. I never played any of the ones that this studio did of their sort of... They did the remasters of the earlier Homeworld games too.
Right.
But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, nice.
As the, at the same time as we'll be seeing David Harbour, Lily Allen's husband, walking around. But is it him? We can't quite tell because he's alone in the dark and his face isn't. Another one that was meant to come out in November or something of last year, October maybe. There were a few other things. It got out of the way and then delayed itself a second time to March.
Right.
This is Supermassive, who did Until Dawn and...
Man of Mead, Dan.
Camp One, The Quarry.
The Quarry, yes.
This is them doing another
cool
narrative horror game.
Yeah, it's him. It's two leads, right? It's him and a woman, I think.
I'm not sure who else is in it. I only remember David Harbour being there.
But looked good. We saw the trailer semi-recently, I guess a few months ago probably, because I'm 5 million. It looked good, and the better versions of their games have been really enjoyable.
Quarry was fun.
They're so silly in an enjoyable, self-aware way that I really hope this manages to capture some of that. But the weird delay stuff has me a little iffy. But you'll find out in the future.
Yeah.
Or in the past, if you're listening to this, in the future from the future.
Ooh.
If you are from that future, you'd have easily comprehended that sentence because language has evolved to the point where Dragon's Dogma 2 is a common phrase. that comes out on the 22nd.
What is it? The Oxford Word of the Year.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Riz. Looks cool. I have not played that first one still.
Yep.
But it is a Capcom weird combat game.
Mm. Capcom are, really on a bit of a hot streak at the moment.
Absolutely.
I feel like. So I'll give this a go, but I have no sort of, I don't really have any anticipation for it because, I have no attachment to the first one.
I think the idea is that, Monster Hunter is so popular because of its, simple but intricate combat.
Right.
And I think this is a similar fan base because of similar things. With a changeable world that is influenced by what you do, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. And it's how long is it between drinks for this franchise?
About 10 years-ish, I think. This was a PS3 game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a little more than 10 years, probably 2012-ish.
Yeah.
They did a remaster on the PS4 and all of that. But one of those ones that at the time I think was a bit of a... not a hidden gem thing, but like a sort of cult classic.
Right.
Surprising that they were even doing a sequel to it to people. And I'm excited for it because it looks like there's more budget behind this one.
Yep.
And if it can be done with a bit more finesse, even though, again, I didn't play the first one, but from what I've seen said of it, it's that was the thing that was lacking from it being like a kaboom type of game.
Right. Yeah. I did play that remaster and it was a bit janky. It was a bit, and like playing it when it came out after so many similar and better games in the had come out in the interim,
right,
just didn't quite hit for me, but
it showed up around the time that Dark Souls 1 came out, so that type of combat that my understanding is it's kind of doing
bit
differently was still the let's figure this out
space. Yeah that's fair.
Unlike the type of combat that appears to be in Rise of the Ronin, which is following that model but is fully honed by a team who put out Woe Long last year, Team Ninja, that we didn't love. And I'm hoping that they can bring it back around with Rise of the Ronin because it definitely looks aesthetically cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess because Neo and Neo 2 were when they came out, were I would see them on end of year lists and stuff and were very well received. And
they were the first post-Souls games that people were this is also really
this
well
is
made.
Also good, and it scratches an itch for certain people, and some people like them even more than the Souls games, and Woe Long it feels like just kind of came and went. Didn't really see a lot of mentions at the end of 2023 for that one, but I don't know, maybe because this is so soon after. I guess they have these parallel development teams.
There's Splinter Cells all over the shop in these places.
Wait, there's a new Splinter Cell?
Well, no. Instead, a completely different company is making another Souls-looking game, Black Myth Wukong.
Yes.
We talked about this because it was at the Game Awards and we all thought it looked really cool.
Yeah.
That's out in cool August. Style. Cool little monkey man.
Fuck yeah.
Jumping around, swinging a bunch of different weapons.
Yes. Yep.
If you can't be pleased by that,
then
what am I meant to do?
What are you listening to this for?
It's
what are
insane.
You playing video games for?
Well, I liked Ape Escape. And Ape Escape 2.
That's not going to help you here. Yeah. It might.
I've been waiting out for another monkey game.
Love the ape. Did not like the escape.
Yeah.
I want him to be stuck in a situation.
Right.
Then this is for you.
Didn't like playing as a human catching the apes.
Right.
Wanted to be an ape.
Yeah.
Fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I want to be monkey magic.
It looks.
Now I'm going to be.
Potentially very cool.
Yeah.
We were talking about a bunch of big delays before too. Big, big, big delay. It was meant to be out last year again for Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Talk about, like, releasing too many games. Games Workshop license has has been spread far and wide.
It's the easiest license to get.
Yeah.
The second you become a developer and you go walk, you know, at graduation from developer school, you get your mortarboard, which they hand to you at the end of developer school. You don't wear it to the graduation.
Yeah, it's not that
I forgot and have never graduated from
You get your diploma rolled up. You'd be too tempted to throw it in the air straight away.
Exactly. They're like, hold back. We know you guys are the modern rock stars. You get your little wrapped up piece of paper.
Yep. Yes, a degree.
Wrapped up piece of paper.
You get a full wrapped up piece of paper. You do get a wrapped up
piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get the Warhammer 40,000 license to do whatever you wish with.
That's right. I hope you like orcs, because that's going to be your first game.
They're all over the shop.
I loved Space Marine 1. It was a really good, like, God of War original style kind of ripoff, I guess. But, like, it was a good use of that dark sort of atmosphere setting. Big, powerful guy with a chainsword.
Third-person, like, action games had become a very specific thing at that time, too. And it, like, had the guns and the sword and it was all a bit fun and having a bit of a silly time with it.
Yeah.
All the British orcs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Space Marine!
Yeah.
Come over here, Space Marine!
Having the, like, what do they call them in Doom? Like, the glory kills and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a nice sort of indulgent, silly game that was fun to play.
Yeah, hopefully the second one isn't in too much trouble.
Yeah.
And it does come out around then.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that have, like, defined dates at this point.
Mm-hmm. They're not just situationships. They're defined dates.
We are meeting up on the 3rd of, the 9th of September, Space Marine. Listen, the last time we talked, you said you'd meet me in November 2023. I deleted your number.
Yeah.
Well, add it back in.
The rest of these
for
games,
the Emperor.
The rest of these games we're going to talk about from here are Going Stag.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
These are just single games, getting out there, seeing what the vibe is, going home.
They had the offer of taking their cousin to the prom.
Did they?
Well, their mum was like, hey, you know, why don't you...
Yeah.
You don't want to go alone. Why don't you ask your cousin? They're like, that's weird. I'd rather go alone.
Maybe Star Wars Outlaws did.
Yeah.
They've got... That's happened a little bit in that universe.
Sure, sure.
Do you want to talk about Star Wars Outlaws? I didn't realize that it kind of rhymed like that until saying it just now.
Star Wars Outlaws.
Star Wars Outlaws.
Yeah.
That's fine for you to not have realized, but the people making it really should have.
Unless they lean into it in future trailers, it's like a rap. That could be cool.
Donkey Kong rap style.
Exactly. Donkey Kong raps the trailer to Star Wars Outlaws.
I'd avoid that like it was my bloody Star Wars In-Laws.
This is...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the Comedy Crab Shack. Yeah. It's all good.
Okay.
So this
is the Ubisoft game? Is that right? No, who is it? Yes.
Okay. I think this is Ubisoft.
Open world Star Wars.
At the very least, it is a Ubisoft style open world Star Wars.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, okay, cool.
But it did look surprisingly good from the...
Yeah, I thought this looked cool.
And I liked the open world-ish nature of Jedi Survivor.
It was cool.
Yeah. That exploration and stuff.
At sort of the same time as the Jedi franchise is strange. Like, this coming out a year after is sort of bizarre.
I do like about this, though, the sort... I think you're right, but then also this has the point of difference of... just to validate you for a second, the fact that... Another thing I liked about Jedi Survivor was the Star Wars Outback, and this is more focusing on that.
Right.
Outback Outlaws.
I doubt you'll meet any Darths. I doubt you'll come across anything like that.
Sure,
This is meant to be...
You're not a Jedi. You're a fucking...
You're an outlaw.
You're a Star Wars Outback Steakhouse.
Do you know I learned what the actual term outlaw means? It's not just someone who, like...
exists outside the law.
You're... I love these days when you turn up to our recording and you're like, do you know where the phrase pulling your leg comes from?
Yeah,
I read another three pages of a book today.
I've been on Quora.
Oh, God.
It's not that you just don't abide by the law.
Right.
They were outside of the law in the sense that you can do anything to them and you don't have to face lawful repercussions.
Oh,
you can kill an outlaw and that is not murder.
Yeah.
That's apparently. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not an outlaw then.
Well, then this is going to make this really a long-term negative thing for me.
Yeah, there
I've got my bullet journal right here.
Oh, no.
How many true outlaws are there at this point?
These days?
Now?
These days,
like
yeah.
Coney?
Yeah.
He's been one for a while and he...
Sure.
If he's still alive, I don't know shit about him.
I think he died in 2013, right?
We got him.
Yeah.
Like the FBI most wanted list, just like, hey, if you... We'd love you to bring him in, but hey, right. if you end up taking them out over the course of that,
it's sort of like
harm done.
Like a blanket assumption of self-defense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, they're a terrorist or whatever. Yeah.
Hey, we'd love to lock Bin Laden up and question him, but, you know, that doesn't happen.
Well, he's
that
been dead for 13 years.
That's fine. No, but he would have been...
He's with Coney now.
Yeah. He would have been the
The New Yorker cartoon the next day.
Coney
I've been
and Bin
waiting
Laden
for you.
Jamming in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, Star Wars Outlaws look cool.
Yeah.
As does to me Animal Well, which is...
Oh, right.
You're going to have to remind me what this is.
I think it's going to be the first game out of Big Mode.
Yeah, it's Donkey Game.
Oh, yeah, this looks cool.
Yeah.
It's sort of a Metroidvania thing, pixel art. I mean, what more do I need to say to get you interested in an indie game than it's a Metroidvania with pixel art? But it did look nice from the trailers we've seen so far.
Totally, yep. I'm interested in this.
That sort of really detailed, fluid-looking pixel type of art.
Good color palettes and stuff like that, yeah.
I love a good color palette.
It's my favorite Muppet and my what I use to describe their drumming.
Okay.
The quality
Animal
of their
well.
Drumming.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not color palette.
Mm-mm.
That is Obsidian's first-person
RPG. The magic. Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Another bad title, I think, is what we discussed at the time.
I mean, a game that immediately you all recognize when I say Obsidian.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fact that they have not attached a good name to it, but Avowed is...
They should have called it Obsidian Do Magic.
Right.
What if Obsidian Magic?
Or try to find a middle ground between the two.
Avowed.
Yeah. Outer Worlds Magic was kind of the thing that it was leaning on because it was like very RPG heavy, a lot of dialogue, character focus and stuff. But
another of their own original worlds, which I thought Outer Worlds, one of the coolest things about that game was the setting of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
It worked really well for the most part, and I'm interested to see this. I'd be surprised, honestly, myself, if this came out actually in 2024.
Mm.
It's slated for it, and like I didn't even put Fable on the board because that won't...
Yeah, well, Avowed's one of those ones that's been... Yeah, kind of talked about without really knowing what it is for a long time, right? Am I thinking of something else?
I believe it was sort of that Obsidian was doing their own thing for a bit.
Right.
And then they showed it at like, there was the big Xbox, whatever it was, where they showed Fable and, or like just Richard Iowati's face or whatever.
Yeah.
Or it was just a fairy.
Yeah.
At that
point, you know
actually.
What I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of, what's his name? Bioshock guy and what he's been working
Ken
on.
Ken Levine and that, Judas.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that where I just had recently reread that book where where at the point that the book has come out, it's still like, who knows what he's doing? Last year we finally got the light. Well, here it is. But who
yeah, no, I think it was, this was more like, because they did Outer Worlds DLC and stuff. And this
and that
was
not
like,
that long ago.
Yeah, exactly. This is just their next game.
Yeah. And this was shown alongside, like Fable and the idea of doing a Perfect Dark thing. Which
I think
that's run into some trouble. And so they're not up there, but keen to see that.
Yeah, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Keen to play Little Nightmares 3.
Yeah.
I like those first two.
And there's a third. I never finished two, but yeah.
They're neat little side-scrolly, moody kind of walk-around games.
And this is different people from two, or was two different people again from one? No, one and two are the same people in this.
One and two are the same, and this is, I don't remember who this is, but it is not that same team.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's enough in one and two that someone making this should get it.
Yeah.
And it'll be cool to see a slightly different take on that, I guess.
I'd like the controls to be tightened up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that's what this new developer will bring to the table.
If they can do that and keep the same visual style and the kind of like
the creativity of the puzzle stuff, right? Was
the non-dialogue-y storytelling stuff. Yeah. All of that was the best bits of that game.
There's a bit too much, dying because of the controls.
And just awkward wiggling around and having to drag boxes around that don't quite move right and all that. I agree.
So yeah, just doing that same tone again, but yeah, tightening that up would be great.
Yeah.
Damn. An awesome cover.
Yeah.
Which will probably be what's on the box for Metaphor ReFantazio.
You'd hope so.
I would bet, surely, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the last time I looked at a physical video game box, though. At, like, as in one that I didn't already own.
Yeah, to be like, I'm going to judge this by the cover
or even just
it.
Singing them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's all digital. It's all just thumbnail shit now.
True. I feel like you see, you get like sponsored ads and stuff. I do feel like.
But that's what I'm saying. That's not real.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I'm saying a box.
You never take a stroll through JB and just have a little squiz.
Look how quickly the real world and the digital world get melded into our brains.
I know.
Man.
I know.
Box art has gotten worse, though.
For sure.
Yeah, there's
you
way
look
less
at
of
old box art
side.
And they did like the interesting poses for the characters and that era where it's just
bending over.
Doggy.
Little finger in the mouth.
It is great. That era where the game itself, the graphics are so simple and rudimentary, like in the 8-bit, and so the entire personality of the game is the illustration on the box. And that's it. That's the thing
true.
That's in your head that's like doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You never get really that anymore.
You're right. I loved Warcraft. The Warcraft box art, the orc and the human, and then you like kind of project
looking at each other like they were a fucking ad for like an upcoming NFL match.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Warcrafts versus orcs versus humans.
Yeah.
That's the title.
The calling yourself like the Orc Warcrafts would be a great team name. We're the Cincinnati Footballs.
Oh, that is good.
That would be a good art project.
The Square Enix ones were always awesome with that, like, I forget his name, but that artist who did all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Really watercolor pencil looking.
Oh,
I wonder if there's anyone who does that. That's a great art project where you take modern games and you make old style illustrated or painted box art for them where you have like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Even kind of more cartoony games. Like even the Mario games don't really, I think, tend to have as interesting box art as they had in like the 90s.
I loved that sort of early to mid 90s, like Silicon Graphics workstation, shit, scary looking 3D art.
Right.
It always freaked me out for some reason.
Yep.
Like Donkey Kong and Super Mario 64 and those sorts of just like janky, awkward, too round looking guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that back.
I think, what is the company called that does the limited edition?
Limited run.
Yes.
Games, yeah.
They tend to have, because they're, I guess, custom art in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and they take like indie games that didn't have physical releases, so they're already popular, so they'll get like a good artist to do some box art for it or whatever.
Anyway, that's what we think of Metaphor ReFantazio.
Can't wait for this.
It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We talked about it from that longer Game Awards.
Game of the Awards.
And this is undated, right? But hopefully it is months after those early two big JRPGs.
This would be a good winter one.
Yes.
Winter.
I'd imagine it's, like September-ish or something, I guess.
Yeah.
I could see it slipping as well into...
Possibly.
Next year, maybe.
I mean, it's a big, massive RPG in a new world that looks fucking detailed and cool. And I just love the style that they do and the way they've applied it to this like fantastical cartoon world.
Yeah.
With weird little guys with big ears and shit. Love it.
Yeah.
Looks awesome.
Good to see some representation.
Especially, that's how you'd feel if you were a helicopter.
Oh.
You saw Flight Simulator 2024 coming out.
Okay. That's right. That was... It's odd that it is a new game because they already did the entire world.
Yeah, it's one of those weird sort of, it's a, kind of an update to 2020, but it is also a separate thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd imagine they'd have the same world with the, they've added more detailed cities throughout the years that's been in.
Oh, yeah.
The place has grown.
Yeah.
It's just flat, man. Antarctica's
flat,
receding because they're building more.
Guys. It's flat, so you can just extend it out really easily.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're right. All that DLC and stuff was like, curated versions of the stuff that was otherwise blurry GPS phones.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how they do deal with that, if like that's only in there if you bought it in 2020 or if that's all in 2024. Mm. But the main thing that I liked in the early stuff about this that differentiates it from the other one is like, more challenge-based, goal-based things to do.
Mm-hmm.
That all looked really interesting to me. I really liked playing that Top Gun DLC they did years ago.
Yes.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
And anything that's coming on Game Pass, you have my eyebrows are raised.
You have my, well, you already have my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have my attention, which you don't care about. You got my money.
Yeah.
Fry from Futurama, shut up and continue direct debiting me.
You guys know what the Plucky Squire is? You remember that one?
I am fucking pumped up for this.
I thought you may be.
The storybook one, right?
Right, yes. Up my alley.
Yes.
You're going off the page, then you're running around a mug. Then you're fucking, you're on a blackboard.
You're really selling it.
Now you're on the bloody fridge.
Yeah. The imagination in this game. Coming up with a mug. That's so funny. It looks sick.
It looks like those cool bits in Mario Odyssey where you'd go into the wall and it was and it was 2D, and but then the stuff in the 3D space at times would affect what you were doing.
Looks
like a whole game based on that, which was really fun.
That game that was called, like, I don't think it was called Exit, but it was something like that, where you were a little guy on a sign.
The Pedestrian?
The Pedestrian, yes. That was it.
I really enjoyed that.
That was great. Yeah.
Similar idea to that as well. Just like 2D storybook type thing interacting with the real world. It looks really nice.
Yes.
Don't know shit about how well it'll play or anything like that, but purely based on the visuals, it looks cool.
It did get to, I think it was meant to be last year and it got delayed,
I believe.
So that, you know, you always feel like, well, they're, you know, they're refining it. They're doing the right thing.
Mm.
I've got high hopes for this one, but I've got a feeling they're going to pull it off.
Okay.
I hope so.
Much like...
Yeah, the opposite of getting a delay is someone putting out more shit than you can understand, which is the Golden Idol crew, as they're making Rise of the Golden Idol, which is apparently is meant to come out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks so cool. The graphical change is such a interesting and like logical progression type one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really like it. And for how much I love the visuals in Case of the Golden Idol, the fact that it's impossible not to do.
Yep.
The fact that it didn't make me go like, oh, I wish they'd have kept the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was nice. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was a surprise. I definitely thought they'd keep the same one, like doing it two years later. Yeah. Super keen for this. I imagine we'll, like, ideally, if it fulfills its promise, it'll be on my end of the year list. Fucking great previous game.
I'm interested to see if they change up the, like, fundamentals of how Case of the Golden Idol was. If you never saw anything of it, we did a bit of stuff with it, but, like, you're basically mad libbing your way to solving a crime. You've got keywords and you've got to put them into this pretty blank, pre-established sentence of a description of how the crime was done.
You also have to, like, sort of unlock the keywords by snooping around, clicking on little
which bits you, and observing the world will give you the information you need to logic your way through this thing. It's so satisfying and one of the best, like, most well done, just giving you enough information to clue into it.
Yeah.
It's not hand-holding at all. There's no, like, hint system, I don't think.
There is, I think. We just never used it. Yeah.
Right. You can do it, but you'd be selling yourself short.
Yeah.
I'm keen for more of that.
Yeah.
Not as keen personally for more of Hellblade, but it's coming.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is this another one that's been meant to come out for a while now?
No, it just got announced. It's been pumped up for a while,
Okay. Since, like, before the Series X, or maybe, like, when they first showed that.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Look at what this will be able to do.
Yes. Right. And it's just, it's coming out this year. And
Senua's Sacrifice.
Yes. I think it looks great. Bigger scale than the previous one. Good graphics.
All right, you heard it here first.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of good graphics, I'm willing to bet they'll be contained within the game that I can't believe they've managed to get into a point where it is coming out apparently this year, which is Stalker 2 Shadow of Chernobyl.
That sounds right, yeah.
Ukrainian developer who has been working on this the whole time that, you know, stuff's been hard over there.
Yeah, right. It was delayed, right? It was
meant to come out in, I think it's been delayed for a few times.
Yeah, okay.
Which, I'm sick of these game delays. There's no excuse.
I thought you were going to say it was been delayed for some reason.
I never read the news or talk to anyone or look anywhere.
In solidarity with Advance Wars Reboot Camp not making its initial release date, we've decided to delay the release of Stalker 2.
Love the original Stalker game. Really interesting approach to the sort of first-person survival-ish horror game. And this one, what we've seen of it, I'm absolutely sucked into this. It looks fantastic to me.
I'm really, really keen to see, like, because the first Stalker seems so ahead of its time
yes.
at the time. And I can't imagine, because that was such a weird, unique time in games as well, especially like PC ones around the late 2000s. There was just this big jump one day where it was like, now Crysis is possible, now this is possible, this is. But like, I'm super keen to see this.
Yeah.
Good graphics.
Graphics, 5 out of 5.
Yep.
Well, Ben, you might perk up at this one. What if I told you, out of the three of us, one of us has a tail and big teeth, all the better to wag at you and eat you with? What would you think we were the sequel to?
I'd have to think that...
I mentioned a tail first.
Yeah, amongst, but you think the big bad wolf is wagging his tail?
If he's happy.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet when he ate that grandma, he was like, I'm right here.
Yeah, I'm satiated. Yeah, Wolf Among Us 2.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
I love that original game. Probably the best Telltale game for my taste. Went on to read all the Fable comics afterwards. Love that world. And look, we've said it here before. Love a detective game.
Yeah.
And this is like obviously not quite as puzzle heavy, but yeah, fucking absolutely psyched for this. Love the visual style, the noir stuff. I'm excited.
I haven't gone into one of the Telltale games in years now, so maybe it's time for me to have a look at that first Wolf, and because I never did those Batman ones, I never did the Game of Thrones one.
Those are all great. And yeah, I did. I think Telltale released a game last year.
They've done those Borderlands ones more recently. Yep. They've done the like finale of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the fucking spaceship one.
Oh, yeah.
The spaceship, I think it's called, and I'm never gonna check.
Based on a TV show, I can't remember what it's called. I've never seen the show.
I think it's like the name of the spaceship or something. Is the name of the TV
Enterprise?
Show. No,
the Millennium Falcon.
Close.
The Falcon.
That's it.
Okay.
The Falcon. Sick.
Yeah, nice. I don't remember what that was called, but apparently those were good.
Right. Yeah,
and I don't even know what Telltale is now. Like who it is?
Because this
has been a huge. All over the place.
This one was announced when they, were bought or they were acquired and they were kicked back up again.
Like for the second time or something well. Like,
yeah.
So, but apparently that's coming out and it'll probably end on a cliffhanger that will never get resolved because they'll fall apart again. I hope not.
Yeah.
But who fucking knows?
Yep.
Who fucking knows when Hollow Knight Silksong will come out too? I put it up there.
Never.
I got out my little naive colored marker and wrote up there with a big grin that'll be taken away by the world that Silksong will show up one day this year.
It is kind of awesome how this game has just become like the existence of it is just a meme at this point.
This is the fun Duke Nukem Forever Skull and Bones. Right. This is the one that's exciting to go, oh, next time there's ever going to be anyone talking about a video game, they're showing the Silksong trailer.
Right, and doesn't seem like it's necessarily development hell or by the time it comes out it'll flop and be bad. Like, you know, it is a bit of like a Metroid Prime or a Tears of the Kingdom where it's like, it's just taking a long time and I've got faith in it.
It takes long for a small team to make a game. And
that's true.
Art is a difficult thing to get up to the standard that you want it to be at.
I would imagine, too, they're really second-guessing themselves where Hollow Knight had the benefit of just coming out and not having, you know, the weight of expectation on it. And then it sort of became its own huge thing.
They're not a hidden gem by the time they're like plushies being sold in JB Hi-Fi or whatever.
And so now they've really got something to live up to. And I'd imagine there's a lot of like, second guessing and self-doubt going on.
Yeah.
Would be a big part of it too.
Potentially. Some of that self-doubt could maybe be removed if you start your game in early access and then spend a bunch of time getting feedback and improving it like they did with Hades 1 and they're doing again this year with Hades 2.
Right.
I don't know whether I'm going to go in on the early access version of it. I played Hades 1 last year or something, maybe the year before, loved it. And read about how the early access stuff sort of worked for that game. It's like a loop-based combat game, and it was basically that they'd add a different floor, a different level every X months. And I don't know if I really want to experience it that way.
Yeah, right.
I feel the same. Yeah, I'd rather just wait for the... Yeah, I don't feel like I need to be in the like notes-giving part of it.
I've got nothing to contribute. Make graphics good.
Yeah. I did play it in early access, and I also played Baldur's Gate 3 in early access and then forgot the experience by the time they actually came out. Played them again and was like, yeah, these are great games.
The amount that you played in the early access, was it a lot or was it like an hour or two, like almost like a demo?
Yeah, probably closer to that.
Right.
Yeah. But again, it also is a pretty simplistic game, so I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'll also probably wait for it to come out properly.
I doubt it will be as long of a journey as Hades 1 was too, because they've obviously done it before.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see too, because after the success of Hades 1, you would assume there'd be way more people clamoring to get in on the early access than there were for...
And early access is just more of a common thing now. Like, a lot of games, like Sons of the Forest is coming out in February as well. We didn't put that up, but like, it was massive and the biggest thing, and it was only an early access game, and then everyone was playing it. So like, early access has changed what that even means to people at this point. Mm. People expect games to be constantly updated and be live service, regardless of what type they are, often now.
Yeah.
So this is kind of just that, but I like getting that 1.0, seeing a big tick box next to finished.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that feeling.
Yeah. Well, that's everything that we know about and are interested in for now. I'm sure there'll be some.
I love that feeling. Big tick box on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Feelings.
We will be back next week with our summer reading that we've caught up on.
Sure,
over the real life break that we've had.
And also the results of the listener poll game of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is your last week to do it. We'll be reading it out next week. I'll close it off at some point, like Tuesday or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so get it in now if you haven't done it. There'll be a link in the description. There's a little survey thing that'll ask you favorite games, a couple questions about the podcast we want to know as well. And I'd love to see everyone else's thoughts.
This will be the definitive game of the year list for the video games industry, so you want to get your vote in.
This is your moment to have your voice be heard on the important issues.
Yes.
Like, is Baldur's Gate 3 good?
Yeah.
Good graphics.
Check all that out. filthycasuals.com.au. The link to our Patreon is on there.
Yes.
Support the show. We really appreciate it. And you get a bonus show every week where we chat about movies and TV and other stuff that's not video games.
We'll be talking about all the stuff in terms of movies and TV shows that are coming up in 2024.
Yep.
That'll be a fun episode. And if you're an eager beaver, you can buy tickets to our Melbourne International Comedy Festival shows also at filthycasuals.com.au.
Yep. Check all that stuff out. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
can we start 2024 over again? 2016, I mean.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.